Started.
Thank you.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I've got a new microphone. A new cover of, yeah, maybe just a cover. Ms. Vega, could we have a roll call, please?
Director Sparks?
Here.
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Schicker?
Here.
Vice President Tacker?
Here.
President Sasania?
Here. Good evening. Thank you all, and welcome to the Thursday, May 15th, 2008, meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. This will be our special meeting for the month. And we need to start. We have a report out of closed session from...
No, we didn't.
I think there was a report last week, and so we had no closed session, so we're good.
Okay.
Okay, we'll start with administrative reports tonight, and that would be the District General Manager's report at the top of the agenda.
Good evening, Board. Activities since the last meeting. I spent the Friday after our last meeting with the visiting consultant looking at our software applications. That company also did a quick snapshot of our financial procedures, and I'm expecting a proposal from them. However, I suspect we won't even be able to do anything until after the 1st of July, start of the next fiscal year. But when I get that, I'll be forwarding that on. Following that, the following week, I did meet with all the employees. I try to do that about once a quarter or so, just to kind of see, check in and see how everybody's doing, and give them what I know of the status, the current status of the CSD and where we're going. George took that opportunity to brief everyone on all the projects so that any one of us could talk for 30 seconds at least if some citizen said, hey, how come they're digging up the street? So I think that went that was helpful. I also attended the Water Resources Advisory. Supervisors will get a shortened version of that 2 days before at their regular Tuesday meeting where they talk about Los Osos. A couple of announcements. June 10th, I've tentatively scheduled as a budget meeting. It's the only date that was available for to use this hall, and that's a Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Hopefully we can get a quorum to go over the budget, because that'll be the first opportunity the board will have to look at it officially. Before that, however, May 28th that's 2 weeks from tonight, is a joint meeting with LOCAC. And then on May 31st is chipping days.
I think that's the 29th.
Excuse me, you're absolutely right. 29th, sorry. 29th.
The joint meeting with LOCAC.
And it's our turn, so you will be running the meeting, Mr. President. And that's all I have. The financials are the new person we've got, Ampera Harbor, wants to make sure she's got all the figures in the right place before she gives us any reports. And as an example, she told me today there was an entry that was entered as a debit, in fact was a credit. And it's that kind of thing substantial. It was $10,000 or more. She wants to make sure all of those are proper before she gives us anything. However, in your packet tonight, at the request of Director Sparks, is a list at least of our bank accounts and how much money we have in those. Any questions?
Director Tacker.
Last week, I think we got a notice that U.S. Fish and Wildlife was coming to town and going to be meeting with agencies, including ours.
Correct.
Can I ask who is representing the district? Who are they meeting with?
Myself, and that's all I know at this point.
Okay.
Is there someone from the board that would like to attend?
I would enjoy attending. I don't know if I can be assigned or...
Was there a day set for that? I missed that.
Yes. Hang on a second.
Make sure we don't converse, I guess. All right, provided we don't have a quorum, let us know the date because I'm interested in attending that too. 27th, 28th, right in there? Okay.
It's Wednesday and Thursday.
You have it there?
I recall that it's Wednesday and Thursday, but if you have an appointment,
no, maybe you could. That's all we have is the letter.
When you have a firm time, just let us know. And,
yeah,
will do.
There'll probably be a couple of us there. Thank you.
I had another question. And maybe I'll hear this in the next reports from water operations. Did they go over the draft budget? My recollection was that the water operations committee was a water operations / finance committee, and that word seems to be missing. Are their duties changed too then, that they're not working as a finance committee also?
What we've looked at doing is both. We only have two committees,
right?
And so, as far as any financial items that affect either committee, we're certainly running through those committees. So, last night the water ops people spent several hours going over the water department's financials.
Okay, I misunderstood that when we were combining committees, that because we had different people from different interests,
we have financial folks on both committees.
Right, and I remember that emergency services would do that, but what committee's overseeing the rest of the district's finances?
If we don't have a finance committee.
Joe?
Director Sparks?
I think if we look at the board action, the board approved combining the water ops and the finance committee. If we look at what the board action was that meeting.
And I'd like to see...
And so I think the board direction was that committee was a combined committee.
And if it's not, I'd like to see when the bylaws changed that it wasn't going to be that. That was the assumption I was under. It sounds like Joe was under the same. But I'll look forward to seeing the draft budget somewhere on or before June 10th. And I wasn't sure what software company you met with. I missed what you said. I couldn't quite hear you.
The New England Municipal Resources Corporation was visiting their other accounts in California, and because I'm aware of who they are and they know who I am.
Director Sparks.
The account balances are provided in this packet?
Yes, sir. You'll see them listed there. Summary of bank accounts, it's item 4C, just prior to the large package at the end. It's one page.
Did you provide that for the public, too? Are there copies for them?
This is a board information package.
Is it confidential or something?
No, it's not.
We can share it?
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
But it's not an agenda item, so it's not. We didn't make extra copies.
I found it. Thanks.
Okay. I need some direction from the board. Do I understand then that you now want to have the Water Ops and Finance Committee? So there'll be no financial review in the emergency services?
Historically, emergency services have gone over their own finances, but then Phil will come to finance committee and hash out any questions they have, too. So it's not either or. I think it's and. They do both.
Okay.
So is emergency services going to be reviewing water ops now?
No.
And water ops emergency services and I mean...
Well, that wasn't the understanding that I had when we merged the two committees. Mm-hmm. I thought we had one committee that was overseeing water operations and the district's finances. I thought that's what they did. You know, we used to have environmental and parks,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So if I misunderstood, then I'm sorry, but I think John's right. He does need some direction of how that committee is supposed to operate or how we'd like it to operate.
Director Sparks, you had something to add?
Maybe I didn't say it clearly. I think when you look at what the board action on the meeting where we covered the committees was to combine the water ops and finance. Therefore, all finances would be under the purview of that committee. The emergency services, as that committee, could certainly look at should look at the emergency services budget. Again, I don't know how to state it any other way. I think the board, and maybe I'm mistaken, but the board action was to combine.
Thank you. Water Operations Advisory Committee report.
We met last night, and we discussed the budget for the water department, but it focused on that. It did not go into the other parts of the budget, such as the Vista Doro Bay Ridge drainage. What are the ones? But anyway, it was focused on that, and the tenor of it took on a very comprehensive type of budget overlook. So it was acting as a comprehensive budget review committee. And I think we'll get some good input from them. And it was kind of up in the air. We agreed that there was going to be a complete comment on the budget by the 11th. But it seems like we're going to have to do it a little bit earlier if we're going to meet and have it discussed on the 11th. So.
Thank you.
And I was just standing in for Joe.
Right.
He wasn't there, but normally he provided some of his own budget markups through his own spreadsheet.
Director Sparks?
Just to clarify, I use the district spreadsheet, and I use the budget numbers provided by Mr. Milanis. So it was just informational in evaluating, the effects of the water budget. And I guess I look forward to the budget meeting and seeing what is going to be proposed in terms of revenues and expenses.
June 10th, Tuesday night. Okay, reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings. Last Friday, was it only last Friday? The Regional Water Board had another meeting and decided to proceed with the basin plan amendments as proposed, essentially as proposed. We will get a break. It seems like we won't have to pump septic tanks mandatorily every 5 years. It'll be up to the inspector, a definitive action, and you could quantify how much of everything, the air quality impacts and all that you'd be doing. And rather than do that, they just kind of left it open-ended and left it to the inspector. And anybody else have anything else that came out of that other than another long day? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, with that, we're on to the consent calendar. Looks like we have one, two, three items on the consent calendar. Receive administrative and committee reports, approve prior meeting minutes, and approve the formation of an ad hoc committee comprised of two directors to develop a general manager's performance evaluation form. And I see that that is because we don't really have a form that the district used by habit or officially adopted. And you did provide a whole bunch of examples there. And so I guess the role of the ad hoc committee will be to pick and choose what they like from each of the different forms and put one together that we're officially, or just adopt one that they see in there that they like. So that should be a pretty quick action, and then and then we'll be on to the business of the evaluation. Any comments from the board?
Oh, can we pull items at this time? Or?
I might as well before comment.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pull five.
I just had a comment on item three. It says receive administrative and committee reports. Just a reminder that the Emergency Services Committee does meet Tuesday at the fire station at 5:30, May 20th.
And yes. if we're pulling five, is it possible to push it back past agenda item aim as we have Wallace here? Or put it at the end?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, I think so. Okay, then at this time, I think we're on to public comment on the committee and administrative reports and the consent calendar items, three and four. We'll pull five for separate action and comment later. Okay, seeing no...
Maria Kelly, Los Osos. One of the additional issues that came out during the Water Ops Committee was a concern that I had regarding the amount of transfers being made from water due to high legal and possibly staff. I don't know. I think it needs to be discussed. So I would request, my request as a Water Ops member, is that at some point that issue get agendized and be able to be available for community comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Richard Margetson, just for clarification for those that don't know how it worked in the past, the Finance Committee was the committee that all the budgets were run through. Emergency Services looked at their own, but Finance looked at it as an end result. Same with Water Ops, addressed their budget at their meetings, but then it was kind of final approval went through Finance. What you don't have now, with the way it's set up now, you don't have anybody looking over the solid waste budget, which these are minor, but Cabrillo, Vista de Oro, you know, separately in with the experience that used to be on that committee. I think you're lacking there. Joe's analysis is correct, and you know that's kind of the reason I've been complaining about the little things lately. You're not going to have an administrative budget this year to continue the way you've been in the past. If you can only get, if that budget cannot be trimmed any more than down to $120,000 transfer to administration, you can only get so much from the fire department. You know, the contract with CDF locks in about 75% of the revenues for the fire department. You've just started to build up reserves for building replacement, equipment replacement. That's where it'll come from. In order to continue this year, that's what you're looking at. You either have to look at staffing, reducing all of the minor items. One of the things that I brought up last night is there's $7,000 line item in here for outreach from the water department. You can't afford a Bear Pride, or whatever it's called now, whatever that glossy thing that came out in the mail. You can't afford any of that right now. None of it. Limited pot. That discussion on the 10th is going to be very interesting.
I expect that's where we'll be talking about the things that Maria was talking about, too. Just, yeah, where it's going to come from, who bears the burden. Any other public comment?
George Taylor, Los Osos. I'm a little confused. I was at the Water Ops and Finance Committee meeting last night, and it was very clear to me that that this budget was going to come back to the Water Ops and Finance Committee on the 11th of June so that we could have another look at it, because Mr. Milanos said that he had to do some tinkering with it because we brought up, there were a myriad of things that we found that were not consistent in the thing. Either they were too far out of line one way or the other, but more or less the consensus was that the two ends weren't going to meet, that there was going to be a big gap in the middle. And we were very much looking forward to seeing this update on the 11th of June. But if you're going to have it here, and then it was going to come back to the board on the 14th. This is what Mr. Milanos said. And the way it looks now, you're completely cutting that out. You're truncating the whole proposition. And I think that the whole thing is going to be a complete failure. Thank you.
Not sure what to say about that. I don't know why on the 11th the committee couldn't look at it again. I don't think we're taking any final action on the 10th.
No, it's the first review. And right. Part of this is because I was not at the water ops last night because I was not feeling well. Okay. And elected not to infect everybody. But had I been there, maybe this confusion wouldn't have
sure.
existed.
Okay.
So I will take responsibility. We didn't know that we had this building and the date for that until fairly recently. So it probably came as a surprise to everybody tonight. And my apologies to the Water Ops Board. They may have to reschedule, or as you said, the first cut's only on that Tuesday.
Yeah.
So there'll be plenty more work to do.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Ms. Vega.
We are supposed to be adopting our budget on the 19th. We're supposed to have a budget adopted before the end of June. So that month.
Okay, we'll manage to work it out. Thank you. Yes.
Good evening, George Milanes, the utilities manager. I was at the meeting, and I, all due respect, I don't agree with the last speaker. And there's several people here that were in audience at our meeting last night. And what I said was that I presented the budget. I shared the schedule that we would be moving on. I indicated the first look at the budget would come to the board on June 5th. I'm not sure where that June 14th date that was thrown out there came from. It was suggested by one of the water ops members that I suggested actually meeting before the 5th. It was suggested back to me that allow the board to take a look at it, ask any questions the board may have, and then allow water ops at the regularly scheduled meeting on, I believe it's June the following Wednesday, which would be the 9th, to look at the budget once the board has input into it. I also indicated it was our intent to bring back a final budget to the board on the 19th of June for adoption by July 1. So for the record, that's what I recall. And again, all due respect to the previous speaker, but I don't agree with the statements made.
Okay, we'll have a budget by July 1st, certainly. Director Sparks.
Yeah, Mr. Milanos. Yeah, I wanted to thank you, Mr. Milanos. Those were the first fiscal year 08-09 numbers I had seen, and all the entries were consistent with the way we've reported, and so it enabled that evaluation, which is the first one to come. And I agree, with you. It's if you've erred on the side of being conservative, and that's proper. And the one thing that you didn't provide was doing the net that led to the evaluation of transfer, which is not so much. We obviously will go back and review the water ops portion, but the more significant thing is admin and actually solid waste.
So, includes my comments. Thank you.
Any other public comment on the administrative or committee reports or consent calendar items 3 and 4? Oh, there you are. Yes.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I have a question which has come up many times, and I'm repeating myself, but I'll ask it again. Are there minutes kept of the meetings of the different subcommittee? Are there even tapes kept? I do know that Mr. Sennett used to, and I don't know that he still does, have a tape recording of what is going on. Now, if he still does, then perhaps it might be advisable to go back and review those tapes and see exactly what dates are being subjected to this budget, also what dates are supposed to be for hearings, so that if necessary, it can be either affirmed or denied that these are the dates that are recorded to be held.
We used to record all committee meetings. I think, didn't we buy a digital recorder for that purpose? Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on the reports or the consent calendar items 3 or 4? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and entertain a motion on those items.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the administrative and committee reports and approve consent items number 3 and 4.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carries unanimously. And we will move on at this time to action item A, presentation on all iBank capital improvement projects, the budget and considered change order award for contracts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7, and a contract amendment for the program management to the Wallace Group. And George, Director Schicker, you had
President,
something first.
Didn't Director Sparks pull item 5?
Yes, we were going to deal with that at the end of the action item so that we could have the presentation while everyone's fresh.
Good evening. Thank you, President Cecina, board, staff, and the public. And I think it was last fall. So in your package, you'll find there are some contract changes. The board, if you recall, had asked that any of those contract changes, things that come up, be brought back. We are at one of those points where we do need direction, and we are seeking approval tonight. But before we go there, I have Kerry Wagner here with the Wallace Group. Kerry's been integral in our iBank project. Give a little history, about 2 years to secure this iBank loan that we now enjoy at a very low interest rate. So without further ado, I'd like to present Kerry, and she's going to bring the board and the community up to speed as to where we are and where we are going with our capital improvement projects.
Thank you, George. Good evening. As George mentioned, I'm Kerry Wagner. I'm with Wallace Group, and I've been working with and for the district for many years now. And I've got an update for you on the iBank program and loan. So as George mentioned, I was here in November and gave you an update, and the reason for that update was to have the board authorize us to gain an extension from the state. We were successful with that extension request, and we have subsequently secured the loan to go forward in the projects through the end of January 2009 so that we can complete the construction of all these projects. So I'm going to move through. I'm going to start with the construction, and then I'm going to go into the engineering, and that's the reason is because they're in the contract order. So starting off with contract 1 and 20B, this is your 16th Street Booster Station project, the tank coating project, as well as the South Bay well upgrade. Not the well installation. It's just an upgrade to the existing well. Right now, the project is about 20% complete. It's going well. We've had a delay from the contractor with the pumps being delivered on time. And so we are anticipating a time delay. However, the contractor has not officially issued that to us at this point. But we are anticipating that. We've only had about $5,000, a little over $5,000 in net requests from the contractor. So we have sufficient budget, and I apologize, the slide is wrong right there. It should say that the awarded budget is adequate for change order requests at this time. Contract two is 16th Street and El Moro upgrade. The project is about 50% complete. We had a large change order from the county on this project due to requirements in pavement that resulted in about a $50,000 change order request. We've also had additional change orders come in that have negated some of that request. So right now, we've got a net of change order requests of about $43,000. The board only authorized approximately $14,000 in change orders on this contract. So at this point, contract two is not the budget, the awarded budget is not adequate for the change orders that are being requested at this time. Contract three, also moving very smoothly, is this project on 9th Street and Los Olivos upgrade. We've had a couple hiccups on the construction side, but all in all, it's been moving fairly straightforward. The project's about 55% complete. Just a few minor change order requests, and these just have to do with field, pipes not located exactly where they are supposed to be. So just minor change orders right now. The board has authorized approximately $3,800, and we've had just under $3,000 come in change order requests. I've said that the budget's not adequate for change orders, and that's basically coming to the assumption that we may get, just a couple miscellaneous more coming down the road since we're not fully complete, and another $800 is probably not going to do it. So at this point, I'm saying we're basically break even on this contract. Contract four is the supplemental supply wells. This is the drilling of the South Bay upper aquifer well. Right now, the well drilling has been completed and tested. We're currently under design to equip this well. Your board authorized Wallace Group to complete the equipping of the well, or the design for that. We're anticipated to go out to bid for the construction of the equipping of the well in the summer. We've also scheduled a CDP hearing for July 2008. That's already on the construction. We just had a pre-con meeting on Wednesday with the contractor and the county. So I'm saying that it's 0% complete at this point. The contractor has not gotten out on the field. We are anticipating a change order already, and this is due to the county's storm drain project. We weren't sure when they were going to come in with their storm drain project, so we designed it so that it would go basically through just straight down the road. We are now going to have to go under and lower our water line and to different locations, and so we're having to add in some fittings. So we're anticipating that change order, and it's not huge. However, though the board only authorized a small contingency, it was very minimal on this contract, and it will not be adequate for that change order. So at this point, the awarded contract is not adequate. Huh? Sorry?
Do you have a number to go with not adequate?
I don't have the amount of the contract change order at this point, so no, I don't have an official number. My guess is it's going to be in the $10,000 range. So just to recap on the construction portion of it real quick, we have several, and before I get into this next slide, is we have several projects that, several contracts that have adequate budgets. However, we have other contracts that don't have adequate budgets for contract change orders. We have contractors out in the field right now working day to day, and they are coming across field changes. And what we are coming to the board and requesting is that overall we have, and I provided this table to you, we have overall anticipating the $125,000 expenditure on the well equipping and all of the contract change orders that we already anticipated, we still have another $41,000 left in the construction budget alone. So there is adequate money available between contracts 1 through 7. It's just not necessarily in the right contract. And so we need to have the flexibility to be able to move some of the money around without having to come back to the board on several of these contracts. And that is what officially this request at this time is for. So let's move into, let's move into the engineering, and I'll give you an overview on what's going on the engineering and the construction management side. Contract 9 allocated to any contract is adequate to cover a contract amendment. Contract 10, 16th Street and El Moro upgrade. Go back. We also may, due to some environmental issues, there may also be a time delay request on this project. However, I'm not really highly anticipating this. The contractor on this project has been moving through it quite rapidly, and I don't feel that he's really hurting on time. So my guess is he's not going to request this. However, we do have to anticipate it. Again, though, the IBANC budget does have adequate money in it at this point to be able to cover any contract amendment. Contract 11, 9th Street and Los Osos. The engineering and the construction management are moving forward. There are no additional contracts that will be required for this project. Contract 12, the supplemental supply well, and sorry if I'm moving through this too fast if you want to, okay. The construction management contract required for the well equipping is still to be determined, and that will be required to come back to the board for approval. At this time, it's estimated at about $25,000. We again will bring this one back to the contract to the board for approval, and there is adequate money allocated in the budget for this cost. Contract 15, the LOVR. No, go back. It's at the bottom. Okay. Contract 15, the LOVR upgrade. Your board just authorized the construction management and inspection services on this one. It's already included in the budget. There's no additional other contracts that we're anticipating for the completion of this project. Contract 400, this is the program management. This is the time that Wallace Group has spent assisting the district in all of the budgeting, the financing, reviewing Penfield and Smith, our other engineers' contracts, their budgets, assisting the district with the reimbursement requests, as well as handling a lot of the county issues that have come up in terms of the environmental work that was not anticipated. Various were a resource to the district. And originally, our contract when we submitted this 3 years ago was only for 36 months, and we submitted our budget for $279,000. We've done a substantial amount of work, as well as we've done some extra work that was not originally anticipated, including the extension request tracks. All in all, there's $158,000 still remaining in engineering construction management budget, and therefore it doesn't impact the overall engineering. Go ahead. So as an overall budget review, just going back onto the construction, originally budgeted in construction was $3.8 million. We've awarded $3.6 million in contracts. There's either awarded or pending change orders that amount to about $75,000. And the well equipping, which is the only contract out there on the construction side that we are still going to have and have to come back to the board for. That leaves us with a budget remaining of just over $41,000. On the engineering side, we budgeted $1.1 million. We've awarded contracts to various engineering and agencies for $873,000. We have a contract 12 for this construction management. We're anticipating $25,000 for this, as well as I've put in there the contract amendment for the contract 400 of $45,000. It leaves a remaining of just under $159,000 for remaining in the budget. This does not, however, include the anticipated cost for the construction management for Contract 9 and possibly Contract 10. So additional money will be required if that comes about. I apologize, I don't have a number for you at this time. So all in all, going over it one more time, the construction has $41,000 still remaining. That is not allocated to anything that we are anticipating at this point. Engineering has a budget of almost $159,000, totaling just under $200,000. That is not allocated to anything at this point, which means we had a $5 million loan to start with. We're spending $4.8 million of it. We still have $200,000 left. That is a little fluff to help out with, you know, anything that it's construction. There's always stuff that happens in construction, and we got to close these projects out, but we feel that there's adequate budget there. So what we're in closing, we are recommending that the board, your board, authorize staff to award contract change orders for contracts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7, not to exceed $115,000. Now, what this includes is change orders quickly and not hold up our contractors, which then could in turn, they could process time delays on us, and we don't want that to happen. Obviously, if for some reason we have contract change orders come in that exceed $115,000, then we would come back to the board and request authorization. At this point, all of this money is still capable of being funded under the iBank loan. This does not utilize any of the district's funds at this time, nor do we hope that it will or have to. The second request is also to approve the contract amendment for the program management services for Wallace Group. At this point, if you have any questions.
Director Schicker.
I just had a quick question on, could you refresh my mind what contract, hang on. Oh dear.
In a couple of the tables we issued in the staff report, there's a couple of tables that help explain all the numbers. There's a lot of numbers, and if you want me to help explain any of them, I can. I have them here with me.
I'll hold my question for just a sec until
sure.
I check that.
Terry, could you tell me if the original design contracts in court will be able to accommodate the changes for the change orders? Is that included in the house bill preparation and things like that, or do we have any added engineering costs from Penfield and Smith?
No, at this point they've completed their design costs, and so within their CM contract includes engineering during construction. And basically what the engineering during construction includes is the time that if a change order requires an engineer's time to evaluate the change and to restamp a drawing, to issue a drawing to the contractor, that is included in that cost.
Just a quick question first. What's Contract 11 about other than engineering for 9th Street and Los Olivos?
Say that again. I'm sorry. Contract 11?
Yeah, and both your PowerPoint and the staff report, it just says it's engineering for 9th Street and Olivos, but I can't remember what you're doing there.
9th Street in Los Olivos is a water main upgrade.
Thank you.
Director Tacker.
How much interaction do you have to have with the iBank to make these kinds of changes?
Within here, notify them of the budget change.
Thank you.
Director Schicker.
You mentioned briefly environmental issues for Contract 10?
Correct.
Could you explain?
The design had several of the laterals had to connect into fire hydrants, of which the fire hydrants were covered with ice plant, which we have found is a local habitat of a snail. And so we have had to call out an environmental company to walk the alignments and assess all of the waterline alignments for the ice plant, as well as the El Moro bike path. We have a waterline down El Moro, which is through the what streets are they? 15th and 16th, where the bike path is. We have subsequently received a concurrence letter from U.S. Fish and Wildlife for the El Moro bike path location, so our contractor is free to work with the mitigation measures that are being required on the contractor. But they're capable of moving forward at this time.
Director Sparks.
Carrie, let me see if I understand this correctly. Within the construction management and engineering,
correct.
The IBANC budget is $1.1 million. So when we're making, you're asking that we're going to have changes of $70,000. Is the 10% threshold that I saw in the IBANC that we have to go back for approval, is that for segmented or is that for the overall budget if we exceed? I recall looking at the IBANC contract and saying, you know, if it goes over 10%, that we'd have to.
That's if only if we move more than 10% of the engineering budget to the construction budget. That's in the lines of what Director Tacker was questioning. If we have more than 10% money that needs to be moved from the engineering contracts, which is contracts 9 through 20A and contract 400, if we have to move more than 10% of the $110,000, if we have to move $110,000 up into the construction contracts, then we have to notify IBANC and get authorization from them on that. But IBANC does not really care where the money
in these sheets to see the word budget all over the place. I'm used to, you know, to me, the IBANC is the state's budget, and that, well, I know what that is, whereas our district, to me, the budget is what you call awarded a budget. I don't like that term either, but we, you know, we gave authorization for contracts plus a contingency, and to me, that's the budget. You know, I used it twice. That's our budget. So thanks for that clarification. I don't understand contract 9. I mean, I look at the construction schedule, and I had it on last night, an old schedule that said we were going from like January to July, and we'd only done, I don't know, $300,000-$400,000 worth of work, or, you know, we weren't that far along, and I see that on contract 9, you know, we're through the contract, and I listened to you and said, well, you have plenty of budget, we have plenty of IBANC budget. So, I mean, I'm wondering, tomorrow, you know, we've made an award, what you call the awarded contract, the district awarded budget, and we spent that. So tomorrow, how are they going to do, I mean, we're not even approving a change to construction management contract 9. So why aren't we?
Let me answer that in two questions. One, going back to the amount of money that's spent on contract 9 versus where they are in time. Penfield and Smith is the construction managers for three different contracts out there. They're for contract 9, 10, and 11. Several of the services at the beginning, they kind of grouped them all together, and they were doing them for all three projects, but however, they billed it all to contract 9, when really some of that money should have been billed to contract 10 and contract 11. And so the money that was actually billed to contract 9 shouldn't have been billed there. It's not something that we can go back and fix, but it is aware. But so when we're looking at Penfield and Smith's contract, we're kind of looking at their contract in a global perspective of contracts 9, 10, and 11, and looking at it to see, okay, you have so much time out there. How much time do you have left? We know how much time you have in the contracts. How much budget are you guys going to meet your budget? We already know there's going to be a time delay. We know that there should be a contract amendment coming for, but they can't issue a contract amendment to us for a time delay when the contract is out of scope. We have to notify the district at that time and or not do the work until we get approval to do the work. They haven't come to us at this point for any contract amendment, and I can't speculate whether or not they will or will not for extra work if they've done extra work. So at this point, I can't answer your question fully, and I understand where you're coming from, though.
Okay, let me rephrase.
Sorry.
with Pinfield and Smith, they're managing construction contracts 1 and 20B. Mm-hmm. Are they doing that under a single contract?
Yes.
Okay. And that contract was for $248,228. I mean, that's what the report says.
That includes several other contracts, but their contract was for $173,000 for contract 9.
Okay. Now I'm really confused because you just said $173,000 for contract 9. Where does that come from?
If you look at, I issued a table 1 to you, and it has all of the district awarded contracts. This is a list of all of the contracts that the district has right now with various contractors and engineering firms, environmental firms. We've even got Harvey's Hunting Huts on there for the porta potties at the district office or the district yard for the construction manager. And those are all the contracts added up, and then the total is put into the contract to your other spreadsheets. So you can see Penfield Smith has a contract for $173,000 under contract 9. Under contract 10, I apologize. Penfield Smith under contract 9 is $236,000. I apologize for that. Contract 10 is $173,000, which also covers contract 11, construction management and inspection services.
Okay, and I guess I still haven't had, it's probably just me. Tomorrow, they're going to be called out to do something on construction 1 and 20, and what contract are they going to charge to in their construction management?
They have been,
and I don't care what they've been doing. I want to know what they're going to do tomorrow.
They'll be charging it under contract 1, but we'll be looking at them from a global perspective still. Are they under budget for all of them?
I guess
do not have the official numbers in front of us at this point.
Okay.
We don't have the information available from the engineer at this point.
So they're winging it out in the field tomorrow is what they'll be doing.
We have guessed. I mean, we've anticipated a cost, but we do not have a cost at this point. Okay.
But they're willing to go at risk to get reimbursed if they have to do something.
That is their decision, yes.
And that's their risk, not our risk under the contract.
At this point, no, it's not.
I hope that's really clear to everybody.
I do want to make the point. I mean, Penfield and Smith is doing a great job out there. They're working with the contractors. They're working with all three contractors out there, dealing with the chaos of having three separate contractors working on over $3 million worth of work, trying to figure out where your time is being spent. Gets a little hectic out there, and I understand why a lot of time got charged to contract 9 rather than getting charged to contract 10 and contract 11. So as program managers, we are working with Penfield and Smith as well as George and the district are working with Penfield and Smith to ensure that they have their budget. They can't expend their budget without coming back to the district for a change order. We understand that, or a contract amendment, and they will not work outside of their budgets with that amount.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure we would never selected them unless, you know, that my concern is with our district finances. Mm-hmm.
They have not expended, they have three separate contracts. They have three separate contracts for contracts 9, 10, or two separate contracts for contracts 9 and 10, and they have not expended their total budget at this time, nor are they close to it.
And, you know, I was, again, searching for the schedule. When do we anticipate contracts 1 and 20 ending? I didn't see an updated schedule in this, which I was hoping to see.
George, did you an updated schedule from Madonna?
I mean, is it October, January, next 09?
Yeah, thank you. We're speaking about contract 1, the Madonna contract. The delays, I think it's noteworthy to
point out why that contract's kind of slowed down. The issue is pumps. Apparently, the John Madonna Construction yesterday presented us with a letter. They placed the order for the pumps, and what we're talking about is the booster pumps. This is the big ticket item in December for those pumps. As it turns out, we received a letter yesterday from the representative who handles these pumps. Pumps, by the way, these type of pumps, they're not off the shelf. These are have to be built. And to my surprise, as it would turn out, it's an issue with the foundries that actually cast the pumps. Apparently, there are only, the letter stated, there are only two or three foundries left in the U.S. That cast any pumps. Everything's been moved to Asia or South America. So the net result is you have an extra long lead time as to when these pumps can be delivered. We were looking at a July date a month ago. As of yesterday, we have received an update from the pump manufacturers, and it looks like it will be, they're still looking at a July update when they ship out. So Madonna's schedule kind of reflected the pumps being in place and the project finishing out about August, I want to say August 10th. Again, we are moving forward. They are constructing the building. Everything else is moving forward. Right now, the tank is being lined, for instance. We are moving forward. All the metalwork has been complete on the tank, and then ultimately, in the next month, month and a half, we'll be coating the exteriors of those tanks. So essentially what we'll have by July is the site prepped, the house, the structure, the house of pump there, all the control panels in place, and it would be at that point a matter of moving the pumps into position, making the final tie-ins to the manifolds and the various piping that are going to bring it all together. And then, of course, there's startup.
Is there any issue we don't know about that's going to cause a redesign, that the pumps don't get delivered? I mean, I guess I'm, you know, hear an update, and I've seen where you get updates month after month after month, and nothing ever gets delivered. So what I'm looking towards is, I mean, what degree of confidence? I mean, do we know that they've, you said they were looking for a foundry. Did they pour the, you know, steel in the bucket and yet, or what is the confidence on the ship data pump? Are they actually building it, or are they still waiting for something? Is there still?
Well,
I guess my point in asking this is that, you know, if I guess you would say if you knew if there's a second source issue that you need as a pump, and what that would do, and so that's why I'm digging down a little bit.
As far as a second source, no, there's not. As far as when they actually will cast and fabricate the pumps, what they do is they cast, and then the castings go to another company that actually builds the and puts the motors together. Again, the best information we have right now looks at a completion date in August. And I apologize, I wish I had more information, but we're kind of at the mercy of, you know, just the status of being in line.
Well, I guess I'll ask our program manager. I mean, do you have confidence they're going to deliver on the latest update? I mean, is there any reason that, you know, this could just keep dragging out? When was the first expected delivery? You know, we did a PO in December, so when was the first expected delivery?
In December, they had not given us an update. They had told us until July We've anticipated, they've told us that the pumps have been delayed for a couple months now, but they had not given us any confirmed date of delivery at that point. And so just yesterday was the first time that they actually gave us a date of delivery. When it comes to manufacturing, I can only take the contractor's word. I have not called the manufacturer themselves to confirm that date. If that is the date that the manufacturer has issued, then that's the date that we have to go on at this time.
Yeah, I understand. I don't want the
with the contracts as you. What would be really helpful to me on one of these tables, and I don't know if you're still willing to do it, is on each of these tables or on one of these tables, I don't see pumps on there described as one of the anticipated delays in the comments. Could you add a couple columns like percent complete, like you told us in the PowerPoint, and anticipated completion dates? It's hard to evaluate. You know, you're saying you're confident, but we're trying to grasp why you're confident. And you have a understanding of percent complete, anticipated completion dates, what are the delays? And I don't. By the information, it's all in four or five different places. Mm-hmm. One table would be really helpful for me.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, I guess I'll make a comment briefly. I guess, and this is mainly towards our staff, I would expect, and I understand why you're making this whole presentation, I would normally expect, because you're the program manager, for you not to present on changes to your contract. I would
Correct.
Expect our staff to manage you. And so it's a nit, but I am a little bit uncomfortable receiving a contract change from the contractor and not from our staff on a program management contract. And that's the cue for George to get up. And the other thing, you know, the staff report says that, you know, the delay is due to the extension, the iBank loan. But, I mean, if that's the reason, then that should have been in there and scheduled in. And I understand there's other reasons, but we knew about this extension last September. And so, the management for the contract at that time was known to be until January 2009. I understand the construction managements that may be extended by the individual construction contracts, but it was known at that time, and that's by far the largest percentage change here. And then the other item is, you know, I look at the overall amount that we spent, and I look what we spent on program management, and I understand the design work's done, so I would hope the program management would be, we've got to stay on top of it to finish it, but again, it's just a comment and
present at staff level in our cabinet meeting. We discussed it. It actually was broken out. It was not Wallace Group who essentially went this route. Staff have discussed the presentation, and right or wrong, we chose to combine the presentation, kind of try to present it all as one. I understand Director Sparks' comments. It did set out to have a separate staff note on this item, and what ended up happening is we morphed it into one, and I understand, again, your concerns. It is somewhat, I don't know if it's unusual or not, but certainly I can understand where you're coming from, and in the future, we'll keep that in mind. But it was not a Wallace Group, it was a staff who chose to combine both the presentation and the award of the Wallace contract all as one, thinking it was all part of the same change orders. These are things that have come up. So I apologize if it's made it confusing.
Yeah, George, I think you're actually being nice. I mean, our program manager, it's kind of like cost plus. Our program manager, there's you know, we have charging that was not done correctly, and that would be okay if we were the program managers, but Wallace is the program managers. And so, you know, if I asked them to come back and get the numbers straight and they charge to the program manager, then they charge to the program manager, we're being charged for that to correct what wasn't managed in the first place. It's you know, it's cost plus. So, you know, what am I supposed to do?
I understand the concern.
Mr. Shem?
I would point out that Wallace Group is our district engineer, and Brooke William Sorensen is our district counsel. And as such, whenever we get an increase in the budget for Brooke William Sorensen, we don't even get a PowerPoint presentation. In other words, a certain part of this, we treat them as part of our staff, and there is a degree of trust involved. Otherwise, they would not be assigned as our district engineering staff.
Richard Margetson, just two quick things. I agree with Joe on the way it was presented, and if you remember in the past, whenever anything came up for Rob Miller, he always stepped out of the room when it was on the agenda in the past. I think that's what Joe's getting at, it really. I'm a little confused on this kind of correlates to the budget also for the district. Contract 4, the drilling of the South Bay Upper Aquifer well is completed. Currently, the project is in design phase to equip the well. It's anticipated that this project will go out to bid in the next few months. Staff estimates that the equipping of the well is approximately $125,000. And then under contract 12 deals with the engineering and construction management and inspection for the drilling of the and equipping of the South Bay well. Am I correct in understanding from the PowerPoint presentation that there's sufficient funds to do both of those things within the iBank budget before it runs out? And then in correlation to that, there's a couple items that are on the water ops or water department budget that was presented last night that have footnotes dealing with the iBank and the South Bay well construction under item 9,000 capital outlay as part of a $100,000 line item. I would just like some clarification on how that all fits together. Is the iBank going to pay for the completion of this project, or and how much of the district funds are going to be needed next year? I think there's some confusion there. There is to me anyway.
First, I'll preface my comment on the spreadsheet. It is draft, but the capital 9,000, I don't have that in front of me. The 100,000 that's earmarked in there is a combination for ensuring we have the additional funds. Just to kind of recap, South Bay, unlike any of the other contracts that we have issued, is a project only to the iBank when it is complete. In other words, when it's actually making water that is going into our system, that's when the iBank will consider it a project. That's when we put all our receipts together, everything from the development of the upper aquifer well, the drilling of that well, all the costs involved with the cleat inspection. At that point, we submit those funds to iBank for a lump sum payment, a reimbursement, if you will, of our costs. At this point, we're going it one step at a time. We do need the money to ensure we can construct and get that well fully developed and into the system. So unlike the other contracts, monthly, we are asking for disbursement of our monies. And the other thing that's happening now is those funds from the iBank, we're no longer putting that money, paying those bills. We just submitted our last disbursement, and it was almost $500,000 requesting that come back to us. What's not happening is that money is not coming out of the community, the CSD coffers. We're actually submitting those invoices directly to the iBank. The iBank reviews them and then approves them and then sends us the check. The check goes into the bank, and then we cut the checks to the contractor. So it's a little bit different with the South Bay Well, where we've actually been, you know, we're fronting all the capital at this point until, as I explained, the point where that well is making water and, of course, feeding into our system. So I hope that clears it up a little bit with regards to the 9,000 capital improvement, capital outlay, excuse me.
Didn't seem to. You have another question that didn't satisfy. I mean, I guess the question is, we are going to continue following through to develop that well at some point.
Okay. Well, my only concern is then if this is on the expense side of the budget and it's going to be paid back when all the receipts are collected, then it also needs to be on the revenue side somehow as an offset. Because this wouldn't be a total expense to the district if iBank is eventually going to pay the district back, and that will have an effect on what surplus you have mm-hmm. in this. Okay, that's where I was going with it.
Okay.
Jan Lasosos, I don't quite understand what the utilities department is doing or has been doing on 11th Street the last few days, but some residents on the 1600 block of 11th Street were not noticed of water shutoff to their residence 48 hours prior to shutoff, which is required by law. John Madonna Construction was contacted, and their office said that the CSD provided a list of homes that were to be noticed. When the CSD office was contacted on the matter, direction was given to call the construction company. Residents, young and elderly, woke up to no water for showers, preparing meals, and taking medication. Here again is an example where all the I's are not dotted and the T's are not crossed at the inconvenience and expense of citizens of Los Osos. When will the right hand know what the left hand is doing? Thank you.
Construction contracts. Darn it. They're hard, difficult to manage at times. Any other public comment tonight on committee reports? Or wait, where are we at? We're on action item A, I think, right now. Yeah. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring that back to the board. Yes, Director Sparks.
I had a couple more questions. Gary, on the noise, on the contract 1 and 20, the noise abatement, what are we going to do in layman's terms? They're going to install the pumps because we're going to get them in July, and then we're going to run them and they're going to be too loud, and then what are we going to do?
No, it actually has nothing to do with the pumps. It actually has everything to do with the generator, the emergency generator that's being installed. We have requirements from the county in as part of our permit to meet certain decibel requirements. We are putting forth measures to abate some of these the noise. However, once we install the generator and actually run it, we're not sure if we're going to meet that requirement or not. We're hoping that we do. What we've looked at, it looks like we're going to, but we don't know for sure. It was something that we just couldn't we couldn't 100% pin down at the time we bid the contracts. And so what the county authorized us to do was install the generators, run them, and then do a noise investigation on it. And if we met the decibel requirements, no additional construction was required. If we did not meet the decibel requirements, then we would have to do some sort of other sound attenuation.
I mean, basically what, you're putting insulation between a wall and the generator until...
The generator is located outside.
Okay.
And so what we would then do would have to be put up some sort of wall or some sort of sound attenuation. We would have to look at our the various options to deflect the noise a different direction.
So is that, I mean...
all in all, we're hoping that we don't have to do it.
Okay, I guess, you know... was this designed by Penfield and Smith, or
correct?
Okay, so I mean the generator is a noise spec, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know I may be simplifying things. Generator is a noise spec, and there's a standard, and so in the design they can't determine that the noise spec is going to meet the decibel standard based on a distance.
Based on the generator specs, we are right at the generator's decibel limits. So. Right at the property line, which is where the decibel measurement is taken, we are right at the county's specifications for noise. And so, hence the reason why the county was questioning whether or not to issue the permit in the first place, but they did authorize us to move forward with the project and not hold us up with the intentions that we would come back at the end and test the noise decibel level.
And I guess from a risk standpoint, the worst, there's no chance that we're going to have to go back and get a different generator. That's my...
Correct.
There's
correct.
No chance that that's going to happen. The only upper is we put, you know,
we put
a little shack around it for $15,000 or whatever.
Yep.
All right. And there's no chance we won't get a permit for that shack.
Correct.
Even if there are snails around it?
There are no snails on the 16th Street tank site.
Currently. Anything else? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me
ask you one more question, okay. Carrie. Sorry, I get to grill you one more time. The program management contract, I guess. Are we going to be coming back with a program management change again for this program?
No.
Okay. And you're going to underrun?
Excuse me?
And you're going to underrun?
I'm going to underrun. That's our intentions. We, you know, as the contract's moving forward over the last few months, we've been averaging $5,000 a month. The extension request took more money than we were anticipating when we budgeted it. Really what expended a lot of time was the environmental issues that came up, and so we did expend more money at the beginning of this year because of the startup of all the construction. You know, startup of construction is the most intense time of construction. As the contracts are moving forward, we've got Penfield and Smith now in their full bore with the construction management. We're backing off on the construction or the program management services, and we're doing more of just the budgeting, the accounting portion of it, helping with the disbursement requests and so forth. So it is not anticipated that there are any more expenses beyond that.
Yeah, and it's because my nervousness exists when I look at what, again, you know, we're moving towards this January 2009. We're not even halfway spent on construction, and, you know, it's compressed. And my concern is, you know, this, what you said, term fluff, is... you know, all the margin we got left, because there ain't any money for this district to belly up should you go
that.
Over. And so, I mean, I'd ask our staff, what would, I mean, you know, there's no assurances, but you understand the position this district is in.
Yes, I fully understand.
We're trying to balance
utilizing as much of this loan as possible, because this is low-interest money that we're trying to utilize. We want to utilize as much as possible, but we also don't want to go over the budget. And we are, I think we're going to end up right on target.
Yeah, I would just say I want to utilize we've already made the decisions. I want to utilize as little of this budget as possible. And so, yeah, you know, I'm almost inclined to put you guys on a leash for half of what you're requesting, but I don't know.
I'll second that.
I don't know if I've thought it sufficiently through, and then we may end up paying you to come back here for 2 more hours in 3 months if we do that. So I guess, you know, and I mean, I looked at this over and over, and I don't have as much insight to know whether that's a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. Because, you know, you've talked about some hurdles, and I'd feel more comfortable making it less if we were over some hurdles, because I would expect, you know, when I look at those completion dates, basically, you know, we get them done in, you say, 5,000 a month, but, you know, we get the pumps in July, and based on what I heard today, August 10th, you got a 1.6 5 million contract that, you know, you're done with at that point. And so, you know, your rate of spend should go down. And so I certainly hope, you know, the last 2 months, I hope, you know, we're not paying you $5,000 a month. Hopefully you're not doing anything.
And understand, we are strictly on a time and materials basis. We do not expend the district's funds if we're not working on the project. And at that point, yes, with the contracts ramping down towards the end of this contract, our expenses will go down as well. And I've estimated it at the $45,000. That's just basically based on $5,000 a month. But I don't anticipate using all of that funds. And, you know, unless there's some serious other complications, which we're not anticipating, the construction is in, you know, all the projects are in construction at this point. We've overcome the majority of the hurdles. So it's just project closeout at this point that we're going to be up against.
Okay. How much do you anticipate spending?
I can only base my assumption based on what I've done in the past, but our administrative costs for doing the district reimbursement requests is around the $3,000 a month is what we're spending in all of the disbursement requests, and then just general district engineering, program management, assisting the district with reviewing contracts, reviewing bills, and so forth. We spend between $2,000 and $3,000 a month. It depends on how much more, you know, if we have to go back to iBank for additional disbursement requests, if they come back, kick something back to us for additional information, or the questions vary month to month.
You spend half your time dealing with iBank, is what you're saying?
Correct. And that comes forth in putting together the budget status updates for the board, the reviewing all the budgets, putting together the schedules, doing the disbursement requests, attending monthly meetings with George staff to get updates, various reasons.
Director Schicker?
It's a not to exceed, right?
Correct.
You're our
time
district
and materials
engineer?
Not to exceed.
I move to adopt staff recommendation.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that carried unanimously. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Just a brief comment. Having heard the last comment from Carrie, I think I would now have been happy with bi-monthly or quarterly reports.
At this point, we have, let's see, our stormwater management plan to consider. But next, after that, we have a request from the Morro Coast Audubon Society. And I believe that their representatives are here from Templeton. So maybe we could flip them on the agenda, take those folks next, and let them have an earlier evening. It's probably down to 90 up there at this point in the evening, so it'd be safe to go home. Mr. Schempf.
I just wanted to point out that the staff report has a typo, and the application fee for the other category is not $2,900, but it's $290.
Well, good evening. I am Holly Slatland of Templeton, but I am representing Morro Coast Audubon. I'm the treasurer of the organization, and you may be aware that we are currently in the process of trying to acquire 8 acres adjacent to the existing Sweet Springs Nature Preserve. And as part of that acquisition, we also are getting grant funding to do property or public access improvements, as well as restoration of habitat on the property. And we're hoping that we're going to close escrow sometime in mid-June. But in order to make the best use of the grant funds that are coming, it's really important to us to get some sort of water service on the property. I think you may be aware that even though native plants are very drought tolerant, they really do benefit from 1 or 2 years of supplemental watering just to get them going. And then they can pretty much fend for themselves after that. But there is actually a precedent for doing this in the district. You only have to look across the way at the Elfin Forest. And I imagine that our requirements are going to be similar to theirs. We may actually use a little bit less. We're currently watering Sweet Springs with 350 gallons a month, which we're pumping from a well in Los Osos and loading in the back of the truck. And then we apply it by hand, which, as you can well imagine, is very labor and time intensive. And we would like to get away from that type of operation. So we really need your help to do this. And even though we don't have a full landscaping plan, I can provide our plant palette of the types of plants that we intend to use for restoration. And I'm sure that you'll find that they're all exceedingly drought tolerant, and once they get going, they won't need any water at all. And the only other thing that I wanted to point out is we are retiring all of the development rights on the parcel in perpetuity. So whatever water we use, if we're looking at 1,000 gallons a month, probably would be the maximum. It's still considerably less than a developed parcel would use. And this is going to be for the enjoyment of the residents of Los Osos. It's another natural area that people can go hiking and have picnics and that kind of thing. So we did ask for a waiver of the application fee, which is $290, not $2,900. But we really don't want that to be a sticking point. It's not uncommon for agencies to waive fees like that for nonprofits, but we're prepared to cover it if we need to. But the most important thing to us is to have a successful restoration project, and in order to do that, we really need some sort of water. So I'm available for any questions that you have regarding the application.
Any questions from the board? I know how difficult it is to water there. I live near there, and I see the effort you go to. In fact, I've actually filled jugs from my own faucets before. So, yeah, this is a worthwhile request. It just needs to be carefully handled, I'm sure. If there's no questions from the board at this time, I guess we'll go into public comment on this and see if the public has anything to add. Director Sparks.
I guess I had questions of the staff, and maybe it'll lead to questions from the applicant. So do you want board discussion with staff now? Or?
Yeah. Let's have that.
And I guess, can we make a condition of water use, on an applicant? If we agree to this, can we condition 50 gallons per day? Can we condition water use for an application like this, or once we do a hookup?
I suppose we could, but we haven't yet. I mean, right now there are no restrictions anywhere that we service water as to how much. It's the only restriction is how much they can get through the pipe that goes to the property, and that's a slippery slope.
How many other than residential and commercial properties? I mean, do we serve any other nonprofit?
The only other irrigation project that I'm aware of, as was mentioned,
the Elephant Forest.
Oh, and the community gardens.
Right.
Those two are again in the hands of not in private ownership.
But
there are no restrictions on either of those as to the amount of water.
But we know what each uses per month.
Yeah, we get records. We know exactly what they get billed. Yes. Perhaps Director Sparkin could tell us why the question.
Well, just because in the staff report there were, you know, the plans were preliminary, and so and I assume they're not going to want to use it and go less over time. Just since we didn't have detailed plans, it was just something I thought that would, you know, restrict the amount of water that they would agree to as part of it, since we don't have detailed plans in there. How they're going to set up their system.
Well, the comment tonight's a big help. I mean, we didn't even know that. Yes, the total for the year would be helpful.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, again, none of these issues are deal breakers, I don't think, personally.
I would agree with that. I guess I can see the concern there in that I'd want to make sure that we're limiting use to irrigation and not some kind of future bathroom development, since you have water rights, and all of a sudden we're expanding that to restrooms and that kind of thing that might be more water intensive. But I'm sure that probably all those things can be worked out. I know we have a difference of opinion about that.
That would maybe.
Director Sinnott.
Could we issue approval for a limited term, specified 2 years?
I think, well, the water main is going to be fairly expensive to actually install, so I don't know that we would want to stop at 2 years. The other thing is we probably will not do all of the restoration at once. I mean, our goal is to do little pockets at a time, so there would be not more than that at any one time, but it could go, I would say, up to 5 years or even a little bit longer than that.
Okay. Someone's been over there the first Saturday of the month for the 20 years that I've lived on Ramona. It's long-term stewardship.
What is the possibility, or how inconvenient would it be, or what's the feasibility of establishing a spring box? Maybe, George, you would know something about that being a...
You mean to use water from the freshwater spring that's there?
Hmm. I'm not sure on the, as far as spring box, yeah, you can develop a spring box. I'm not sure of the, there is water there. I'm not quite sure. It's a fresh spring, as I understand it. Again, I'll be glad to answer any questions. I guess it's somewhat, as was pointed out, tapping into the water main. We talked about the county's requirements for trenching. It is an expensive proposition. The applicant should know that. Questions I have as, you know, involved not only as your utilities manager, but also with all the basin management issues, is at what point you don't need the water, what happens to that connection out there? It's just, it's in there for what purpose? You know, our policies currently do offer temporary water through a hydrant. Now, I don't know if the applicants thought about, you know, immediately what comes to mind is elevate some sort of tank, fill that tank with water from the hydrant if there's issues with the water quality in the sweet springs, and, you know, gravity feed it out there. It's not hard to pressurize something like that either. Either way, I think the issue is more to be addressed in your rules and regs, because whatever is deemed or the board chooses to do, I would hope you would want to be consistent in the rules and regulations and take care of those things so that it's just not open-ended. We already have one issue, the Santa Isabel project, which is clearly an issue staff now has to contend with. At the last board meeting, I believe President Cecina directed staff to start looking at that, and staff will be bringing back a report on how we can modify the rules and regulations to be consistent with what the district wants to do. So and then the other issue is a plan. At the very minimum, I would think even a rough plan, but some kind of indication as to time frame, when plants would go in, how many at a time. The drawing provided is just, I'm not sure what it means. So, I'm not sure how to approach this. John's got some thoughts on it, but I certainly can do what the board wishes us to do out there.
Holly, do you have anything to add at this point?
I just wanted to comment on the spring box that we did actually look at pumping water out of the ponds themselves, and we're told that the water is too saline to do that. But there is actually, as you pointed out, there's an artesian spring, and that is a possibility. We haven't researched carefully. However, we have been told that the water has high bacteria levels, and I don't know about using that. And also, if a sewer does go in, presumably some of that flow is coming from septic tank drainage, and it might conceivably be less in the future.
Director Sennett?
Something I wanted to introduce. Do we have a potential for entering a joint agreement where the district would want to contribute some of its park funds to assist in this, seeing how the community would benefit, you know, if we would want to consider that? As a means to, say, defer the water hookup fees and things like that if we do decide.
That's really beyond the scope of determining whether you're going to serve water or not.
Yeah, different item. Mr. Schimpf, you had something.
Yes, and George, don't shoot me. I'm a bureaucrat, but I hate bureaucratic responses. And I feel that we can change the regs. You can direct staff. We'll be glad to give you the recommendation. I'm sure that we should do that to cover eventualities for other people. But that, to me, is not the stumbling block. I guess we'd all like, and again, the suggestions that were made here about the hydrant or sweet springs were not meant to say no to this, but because the water's available on the other side of the road, so you're looking at a fairly major expense to put in the service. And so we were suggesting these as perhaps other ways that might be cheaper, not to say, no to a meter. I hope you understand that that's where at least where I was coming from, is trying to help and see if there's some other solution that might be cheaper for you folks. As I said in the staff note, the only real concern is when it changes, when and if it changes hands.
Well, we really are pretty confident that it is going to happen in mid-June. There's a meeting of the Wildlife Conservation Board on May 22nd, and that's the last approval that we need, and we're pretty much assured that that's coming forth.
Director Tacker.
Their application is an intent to serve, and what they could further investigate the other alternatives and do some cost analysis and then come back to the district and say, green light, go, or no, thank you. I think the question before us today is, would we intend to serve? And, the timing of it still would be in the future. And then the other question is, do we waive the fee? And if maybe Director Sennett is suggesting that if we do waive the fee, that it comes from our park budget. Maybe a future partnership is another discussion, but that would be a way to cover the waiver. if you're looking for where to find it in our current funds. I think if we don't have policies, then board or the staff can draw up some policies, and those can come back on a consent calendar someday in the future. I think Holly's here from Templeton, and her request is narrow. And I think all staff's concerns, the property being in private ownership, we can approve this as a conditional approval upon the transfer. We can do that. And I'd like to see us move forward and not waste any time and have to have her come back in the future. So I'd be anxious to hear from the public.
Director Sparks.
Yeah, I'd just say, you know, again, I'd agree, and I want to be able to get these guys going on their project. And in terms of the fees, I guess I don't really think we should be waiving the fees, but I'm supportive of them going ahead with their project and conditioning it on the transfer. This is a discretionary, you know, we don't have a policy. This is a nonprofit. It's a discretionary decision of the board. It's a good project, so I support it.
Mr. Schimpf.
On the waiver, and again, I don't want to seem negative, but when Joe's Barbershop Quartet, a nonprofit, comes in, I'm a little concerned about setting a precedent for waiving fees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, public comment.
Let me make one comment on that.
Sorry.
The district has latent powers. We have seven things that we do: water, trash, sewer, street lighting, parks and recreation, and limited drainage facilities. I believe that we don't do enough in parks and recreation. I do see that our community garden is being funded by parks and recreation, and I wouldn't have a problem if it came out of the parks and recreation budget.
Is there that much in that budget? Yeah, apparently so.
We have a... We got some information tonight.
Okay.
That shows that there is a little money there.
I'll take your word for it. Now we're ready for public comment. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and it would seem only proper for Ms. Tacker to recuse herself since she is in association with one of the persons who brought this problem to the Audubon Society. And I do believe that she has to step down outside the door and let the rest of this board make the decision, not having her sit on any decisions or discussions. It's improper. Thank you.
Mr. Murphy, do you believe I have a conflict in this item?
Why don't we take a break and you and I can discuss it, and then we can figure that out.
You know what? I'll just step outside for Mrs. Taylor, and the discussion can resume.
Additional public comment.
Lon Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I see my time hasn't started yet. I'm not going to do a PSA for LOCAC right now, but I am giving you advance notice that since there is no general comment, I would like to take time from the next section to do that. I would believe that all concerns would be best served if a conditional will serve letter is produced. That will serve letter can limit the amount of time to 5 years renewable. It would include the words water to be used for irrigation only, and limited to certain gallonage, say 1,500 peak per month, might be appropriate. And I think that it's not very hard to draft a conditional letter of that form. The hydrology of the area is as described. In the next section, we'll be dealing with storm drainage, and it is true that we have unique hydrologies. I was visited Sweet Springs quite a few times, and I've noticed that I believe, I've never quite figured out the source, the water source for Sweet Springs, for the artesian well. There are some areas that are higher than it. The location that I was standing when I was composing that thought was the edge of the current Sweet Springs area, which is adjacent to the new tract, which is to be donated. The upper part of that tract is essentially an open field and has no special features and will definitely need some planting for restoration. The lower area has a very dense corpse of eucalyptus, some of which are just too dense because they're planted in a row, and probably it's logical that some of them would have to be removed, and I hope that some of the stumps of the fallen over trees are retained to preserve a natural feel to that. But the real issue that you have here is quite simple. I don't believe the district need concern itself with the number of plants once it has produced such a letter. I believe a single individual could donate the fee. That would be a nice gesture of goodwill. It's serious. Obviously, with 2,900, there would be a different considerations on the side of the amount. It's not going to change things one way or the other. The hydrology of that area is very interesting. There's a row of dead eucalyptus at the very edge. Obviously, their roots are in salt water during the high tide. Eucalyptus seem to be more salt water tolerant than most of the native species, but what the Audubon Society does and has done in the past is bring water onto the property.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I ran out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margotson. Was the budget for, or the amount for, from Parks and Rec in this staff report? Because I don't see it. Where are you getting that?
Mr. Schimpf provided the balances in the other packet that you were looking for. That was to the board packet. So
that
balance
wasn't on the table.
So the balance is $515 in the Parks and Rec.
Okay, and I just, whatever you do, just highlight number. Or not lumber, letter E, the applicant is requesting a waiver of $290, I take. No procedures exist to waive fees, and staff time will be needed. That's the operative part of it. There will be staff time expended dealing with this. I don't know what that all entails, but, you know, I think Mr. Shemp's right. If you approve this, you're opening the floodgates down the road.
Any additional public comment?
Maria Kelly, Los Sosos. Just want to remind the community that at the Board of Supervisors, when discussing this issue, there was an overwhelming support of residents from Los Sosos. So I feel very confident this is something they would support, and I agree that it's very likely we could find support from within the community to finance that $290 should they need it. But I would be concerned about setting that precedent of waiving the fee. Thank you.
Dr. Schicker.
I just, did you have something to say?
I was just going to comment on the fee waiver. Okay. I would agree with Director Tacker. What I was trying to make is the water fund is an enterprise fund, and we really opt, theoretically, that $290 helps to fund it for rate for water users. But I have no problem if the board wants to pay that fund, if you will, from some other sources.
I just want, for clarity, the fee we're talking about is really the application fee. If you look at our, and I don't have one in front of us, but the 290 is an application fee, non-refundable. There is time and materials on top of that. And additionally, should the board wish to grant this, on top of that, it would be time and materials in the water department trenching. We do our own work on our own, on our lines. And again, when you start trenching the road, the caution is it does get expensive. Maria, I think, made a good point. Maybe the community is looking at fundraisers, maybe, who knows. But I don't want anybody to think that 290 buys staff time. This is an application for staff to review it. Typically, how this would work is that check would have already been, it wouldn't even be before the board at this point. That check would cover essentially staff's time to research, to adequately bring back what we found with regards to our rules and regs. So we're kind of shooting from the hip here. So, but my main point is the $290 is a non-refundable fee that we make a staff note, we look at it, but there is time and materials. So I don't want anybody to think that that's just it. So I want to make that clarification.
Thank you.
Having heard all of the comments, I think that Morrocoast Audubon would really like to withdraw that request to waive the fee, and we will just pay it. I think that's appropriate given what the community has said here tonight.
Thank you. I want to be clear, though, the other engineering costs, the staff time with the trenching and all that, isn't there a way to be reimbursed for that? I'm not sure that we should be putting out any money. I want to find a way to make this happen. I want to supply the water. I think this is a good project, but I just think it's not appropriate for us to be expending any resources that aren't reimbursed to make it happen.
Yeah, and there's no argument from me. I think it is worthwhile. I've been doing Audubon and up north for a long time, so I can appreciate what's being done here. There are issues when we start looking at rules and reg, and ultimately whatever staff comes up with, you have to realize, will be run by legal counsel. So the costs can be somewhat daunting, again, and maybe the fundraisers are the way to go. So,
but they weren't requesting any waiver of any other fees.
Right.
Is that correct? All they were requesting was the waiver of the app fee.
Understood.
Okay, so I think that's a non-issue.
Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody's clear about that.
Okay, but that's all they were requesting, and now they're saying they're going to pay that. They're going to pay for it all.
That was your understanding, Holly, that you would be paying the cost of the trenching and all. Okay, good.
And all they were requesting was the waiver of the fee.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
For me, I totally support wanting to do this. I think it, again, to not open any floodgates or change any direction in the community for vacant lot issues. I think it should be in nonprofit ownership before we go forward. However, mm-hmm. And I think you can work that into the policy somehow, because there's still a lot of vacant lots here. Maybe they don't want a garden. So nonprofit is the issue for me, and I mm-hmm. do support using our parks funds for the waiver as a good faith measure, because they are paying for the rest. It either way is fine with me.
I have one question. The drawing that was presented in here seems to have some irrigation lines running under Ramona. Would there be any water run over to the south side of Ramona Avenue? That I didn't realize that was part of Sweet Springs, I guess. Okay, then I realize it's just a sketch, but clearly there are a couple lines that look like they snake off of, one of them's off the main, I don't know, yeah. But it did look like clearly a couple lines going under Ramona, and I just wanted to make sure that everything was going to be at what I think of as Sweet Springs, which would be north side of Ramona and west of 4th Street, okay.
I move a staff's recommendation is there anything you can do in the interim, which is just, I guess I don't have to move it if we're going to table it?
The suggestion was a conditional
approach,
and I don't have any problem with that. But before you make your motion, I see Director Sparks has a question.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I guess, Mr. Milanis, on the hookup charges, we typically would not charge or would charge the applicant the hookup charge as the engineering trench design. I didn't understand that.
Could you ask your question again?
The hookup charges for trench engineering design. Yeah. Is that something we typically, you know, we aren't hooking up to anything in the prohibition zone, but is that something we would typically charge on top of the application fee, or?
There are hookup charges, service connection charges. Right now, the board has not adopted any. We had connection charges. This is for people hooking up to the system that buy into all the infrastructures being done, okay? It gets kind of complicated, but those are not in place. I'll say that first. There are connection fees that run up to $3,500 to $4,000, and when we're done with all this, they may be even higher. So to answer your question, right now what I understand is the only cost involved here would be time and materials. Doing the work, trenching, tapping the water main, bringing that line across, and then setting the meter. And then, of course, we'd have to come back and repave to county standards the trench cut that would have to be done. Now, with that said, and you kind of threw me a curve there, Director Sparks, because when you say connection or hookup charges, to me, that's a service connection, and those have been lined out. Those were put in place actually several years ago. They've never been brought to the board, but these have to do with just those who don't have water service at this point. It was said that the customers, the existing customers right now are funding the water project, all the improvements, and at some point there will be a service connection charge. So down the road, a single-family residence or anyone wanting water, there will be a lump sum up front. I think right now they sit at about $3,500. That's with nothing going on. But that's just essentially buying into the system that everybody's always already paid into. So it gets kind of complicated here. Just because, and please understand me, it's just we're at this crossroads with all our infrastructure. I mean, we've got projects now going on, and this is off subject, but it's the things that kind of are going through my head when I'm looking at rules and regs, and I'm being asked to at least prepare myself to bring back something to the board to evaluate this request and what's a just and fair compensation, because everybody else right now is funding all the improvements going on. So these are just a few things that I know it's probably deeper than anyone wants to go tonight. And I'll, Director Schickers, I'll take her lead, and I'm out of here. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. I think we got the... we didn't. Okay, Director Sparks.
Mr. Murphy, I'm sorry. Do you see any issue with a conditional intent to serve for, even though they don't own it at this time?
No, I think a conditional intent to serve with the condition being that that Audubon Society be the owner of the land before service is established is just fine.
And, Mr. Fried, do you see any issue with the district covering the time and material? Okay.
There's a misconception. When George says time and materials, we put it in, we bill the applicant based on the time and materials we spent. It's not that we're donating that at all.
Okay, it wasn't clear to me.
I move staff's recommendation one more time.
Staff's recommendation was tabling.
Which is to table it, so I don't have to move anything. We aren't approving it conditional tonight?
I would suggest you do.
I move to approve a conditional permit based on the ownership when the ownership transfers to the Audubon Society for a will serve letter for the Sweet Springs Marsh property.
Second. Any further board discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Excellent. It's unanimous. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to action item B, but first let's take a short 10-minute break. Thank you. Okay, at this point, we are back to general action item B, receive and adopt Los Osos Community Services District Stormwater Management Plan. First, I guess I'd like to ask how time-sensitive this issue is, the Stormwater Management Plan. George, is it?
It is not. Time sensitive from a perspective we need it next week. There is a schedule that the water board right now is has put together, and they're cycling through what's known as the small municipal MS4s,
mm-hmm.
Which we are one. We actually operate under the county. The county has the lion's share of the SWAMP, as it's known, the Stormwater Management Program. I have Margaret here, as I mentioned in my staff note, that we've been participating in these meetings for well over, it seems like a couple years now. Margaret was at the water board today. They were talking about the swamps. They are not adopting. Well, let me back up. I believe the county has had their swamp adopted now, and the municipalities that are actually under the county's stormwater management program have to submit, you know, their portion of what we're doing out here to. You know, mitigate or prevent non-point source pollution from occurring. So if you'd like, Margaret, can you answer the question on the time sensitivity? You were at the water board today. Want to come on?
George told me he was going to handle this. So I'm Margaret. I'm staff with Los Osos CSD Utilities. There's an enrollment schedule that goes before the water board. Our draft will go before the water board. We're supposed to give it to them on the 20th of June.
20th of June.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and ours is not very big. Our because we are just a CSD, we don't have a whole lot of authority. But we
right.
do have to address certain issues, and that's what's in this draft.
Any questions from the board about this? Did you have a whole presentation you wanted to run through, George? Yeah, maybe it would be good to educate.
Roads. Of course, the roads collect a lot of metals, oils, different types of pollutants that find their way into the watershed, into drainage ditches, and ultimately out to, in our case, the bay. I can remember them talking about non-point source back in 1975 when I was a water analyst. And back then, it was just beyond me, how are they ever going to deal with freeways and that type of thing? Well, we're here, you know. Our particular management plan, what it is implementing what's known as best management practices. This and the pollutants that really are of concern here, of course, the oils, heavy metals, things that collect on roads from automotive cars and things like that, certainly are of a concern. But the bigger issue a lot of time is sediments, silts. Certainly having to do with construction projects, things, anything that disturbs soils and get the soils where they start migrating once the rains come. So we as a district are limited to really what our responsibilities are. And drainage is one of our responsibilities, but because we have no jurisdiction on roadways, that's why it really falls to the county to put together the big plan. We're a member, but our plan is what are we doing with our facilities? Again, we've got Cabrillo, and a lot of our issues are also sediment. I know twice a year we'll go down and vacuum the curbs and gutters that lead to the bay. There's a couple drainage inlets right there that, of course, these sediments get carried off into the bay. Typically people, for whatever reasons, they'll empty their ashtrays in the gutters, that type of thing. So what we've outlined here is what we've not only intended to do, but we in fact have been doing for many, many years now with regards to, responsible management of the basins and the drainage areas that are our responsibility. So Margaret said it's been well done. As I said, we've participated in these workshops and work groups for well over, it seems like, a couple of years now. What we have before you is really similar to a lot of the other municipalities, maybe on a more limited scope, but certainly follows a direction that will all the municipalities are implementing.
So even though this is to deal with non-point source solution, the pump stations that we have are included, or they're at least referenced in your report.
Yes, they are. Those are, again, our responsibilities. And as an example, the pump stations were out of our wet weather season. Well, this time of year is when we go into those vaults, we open them up, we clean them up, check the pumps out with the vac truck we have or vac trailer. We take out all the sediments. So we go in every year with these pumps or vaults, which act as wet wells for the pumps, clean. So we're not just taking that water and it's getting slurried up and we're pumping it out to the bay. Again, when we deal with erosion, unfortunately, I hate to bring up Tri-W, but that's certainly, it was my intent to get in erosion, wattles, and take action before, I don't want to dwell on that, but that's a bad example. But that's the kind of stuff we would typically implement actions so it doesn't occur, the erosion.
Sure, I understand. I guess I was just thinking of pump stations as having a pipe, a point source, that kind of thing. But there's a little bit more involved if you got vaults to be cleaning. And Mr. Shim.
Yeah, I was going to point out, number one, it's only the property on, but as George was just explaining, perhaps I can help a little here. If we had a chlorine spill, then that's a point source. But what we're talking about here is, say, at the water yard, over time, we collect in the vault stuff that we ought to make sure doesn't get in. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. But I want to emphasize it's only for the property owned by the district or controlled by the district, which is relatively little in the grand scheme of things.
Director Sennett?
I was curious. Does it
cradled? And any water that hits that, they've got to have a plan for what they're doing with that. They can't just let it run off the site. So and a lot of it is infiltration on site. So it's pretty expansive, the nature of the stormwater management in itself. And so this is just, we're doing our little bit in helping in this effort.
Any other board comments at this time? Yes, Director Sparks.
Mr. Schimpf, this does not cover Tri-W. That's owned by the district and managed by the district, but this does not cover the Tri-W site, correct?
Correct.
And can you explain what that is covered under?
I can take that.
I'm sorry, the question was?
I mean, is that, how is that addressed, or is there a plan to address that?
There isn't. We have, that's one of those issues that we have to work out with the county. But we wanted to move ahead with the rest of it here.
If I might add to the Tri-W question, Director Sparks, the county is, the jurisdiction is there, so essentially all the drainage coming off LOVR impacting that site is a county issue. Now, with that said, I suspect the stormwater project they currently have in the works, and that's the stormwater drainage project that will be on Los Osos Valley Road. I believe it is going to construction this summer. They will have to address what's happening with that water because, again, they're collecting it, and there'll be discharge or daylighting that water somewhere. I suspect probably close to the Tri-W site, not in the center where it currently goes, but it will be, you know, daylighted, the pipe, somewhere on the corner of Palisades. And I would suspect it would be into the property. Now, I know Director Sennett had brought up the issue in a previous water op where we were just kind of talking about a number of the issues we have coming up and county issue, and they will have to address it in their swamp.
Have you seen their swamp? Have you seen it yet? Have you seen a draft, or have you reviewed it? Has anyone on staff reviewed it? Do you know if Tri-W is covered in there? Is Tri-W covered in there? Okay, I guess that's a question I would need to know.
We should at least put a line in here that says we think why it's not addressed. So it's a good comment from Director Sparks and Director Seeker. That's the kind of thing we're looking for tonight is any comments from the public or from the board.
Director Sennett.
This swamp is part of the discharge permit, isn't it, that the county gets and I suppose we get? So it's just an element of it.
Right.
Is there a cost associated with filing this every year? I mean, other than the preparation.
Yeah. I can't answer that right now. I don't know, Margaret, do you know offhand if there is a... Yeah, apparently once it's adopted, there'll be a fee. I don't know what that is, and I can bring that back to the board at a later date.
Yeah, it seems like one of these things that creeps in and we end up having to budget for, but we don't have the revenues generated for it and that we have to make accommodations for. And we should be keeping that in mind. I think one of the big elements in this that we do have a lot of control over is public education and outreach. I was driving to work and I saw someone. I was right around Laguna Lake and I saw someone throw out their cigarette butt. And as I got closer, I see a bumper sticker on it that says, "I love turtles." And it was so ironic. It was right where, you know, any kind of water runoff would have carried the cigarette butt into Laguna Lake. So I think people are generally, they're well-intentioned, but, you know, you need to plunk them one to remind them what they should be doing.
You've included in this packet a map of retention basins that the district has, and they're primarily south of Los Osos Valley Road. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. In reviewing some previous documents, I'd like to say I'm not advocating for you to postpone this. I would like that off the record immediately. But I would also like you to know that this stormwater management plan was under Guy Pruitt, who was the special districts administrator of CSA 9 in 1976. So the point I'm trying to make is don't put it off, but in the don't feel as if this is something that has not been going on for a long time. And it has been going on for a long time. Thank you.
Maria Kelly Los Osos, I think to not pay for the filing and getting the fines would be worse. I would like to just point out for the public that there is a large public education outreach component of this, and that is dictated by EPA guidelines that there be, they're called MCMs, but whatever. And a huge component of that is public education outreach and then public participation. And you can see the measurable goals. The district website, Bear Pride, and educational presentations. When we talk about nickel and diming ourselves out of the water department, here again, to meet these goals as required under this swamp, it's going to require a budget beyond just the filing capacity of it. But I would like to commend Margaret and Partnership for Water Quality. They've been incredibly collaborative on this and making sure that they each are meeting their guidelines. And I think it's just been an incredible networking opportunity. And I know that Regional Board's been participating in that heavily to support them through this. I would also like to commend the Water Department on their already participating in public education and outreach opportunities. They've been very supportive of the work that WH2O has been doing and participating in conservation and water quality in the events that we've hosted as well as with Baywood School. So I would like to commend the district and in already taking a serious action and implementing the education outreach specifically with the school children. So, and I know that the calendar that's coming out will be some of the artwork that was on display at our last event. So they're doing a really good job.
It travels much faster. And the county is going to dump that water on the corner of Palisades on essentially public right-of-way edge of the Tri-W site. Those waters are going to continue to enter the Tri-W site, continue to carve the cliffs in there, and continue to cause complications as regards fences and snails, or is it shoots and ladders. Environmental Committee session quite a while back, I brought up with Mr. Milanis a lot of technical issues having to do with his drainage plan, but mostly about this federal nexus where county waters are entering the CSD-owned property or the people's owned property at greater than historic rates. The Palisade project is ongoing. Parks and Rec are starting to actually work on the area near the bread barn, if you could mention that a little later, Chuck. So it's really important that you be very careful. Obviously, this is an area that you can do, but somehow you need to hold the county's feet to the fire on this rather than let it go. There's an individual working for the county. Her name's Jill Cafalcone. She helps to design the LID programs. The county should do more than what it's... This is not showing a good connection in terms of you and the county. You should really put things to paper, and maybe this document is one of those places where you could at least include a few sentences about what's going to happen. The fact that county is working on the parks means that the public works... I talked to the people who are working and measuring the fence, and they don't know when public works are actually going to start. But the very fact that parks is starting to gear up and do that is a good thing in itself. Here in the Bay News, there is an article about the next big local government controversy on the horizon will get its first public hearing today. This is today when the Regional Water Quality Board starts working on stormwater maintenance plans. Later on it says, whether run by a county, city, or CSD, must have a plan to clean up the runoff before it is dumped into water bodies like creeks, rivers, or the Morro Bay estuary. And we know what the Water Board does when it thinks its estuary waters are controlled. Thank you.
The Urban Water Management Plan, I understand, should be updated. It was a document, I believe it went into revision several years back, and due to some cuts in funding, we opted to table that. But it's certainly something that we can, you know, address in the next fiscal year. I don't know what it would entail to revise that, but I certainly can explore that.
It's in table 1, 6.2. It says incorporate the use of urban water management plan into the design of new district facilities. What does it mean? And then it doesn't have anything to do about updating the plan either, which is getting old.
Well, we are operating under the 2000 plan, which is, for the most part, I think, pretty comprehensive. With regard to that said, we have implemented designs that comply with that. As one example, our 8th Street Perk Pond project. This is a project that has removed 35,000 gallons per month, a minimum of rinse wastewater. This is water being wasted from our water filters at 8th Street. Since the plant was built, the iron manganese plant, the discharge, when we backwash those filters as a maintenance activity, it goes directly across the street into the drainage basin there. It's actually one of our largest storm drains, so that gets pumped to the bay. This past year, again, the utilities department, acting as its general contractor, we constructed the Perk Pond project. We now have severed that pipe. That water no longer goes to the bay. So that's in part what means here is.
Okay, but tonight you're just asking us for comments on the plan as it exists.
As it is.
All I was saying, that's a really good example of a project we did. But for this plan, all I'm saying is maybe we should look at the urban management plan and updating it, and maybe that should be added to the list. That's all. I was saying as a comment, because you're looking for feedback, right? And then identify areas where you see non-point pollution occurring that's as a result of their roads and ditches and paths, you know, all the dirt paths that are eroded like crazy. So that's just something else I'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll go there, Lisa, but Director Schicker, but the idea of establishing a direct communications, particularly as you pointed out, the guys are out and around all over the town, and they see things. And so we ought to capture that. It's a good, excellent point.
So what is our direction to staff? We want to see this again with some corrections or amendments, not corrections, but some changes, a few tweaks. Okay.
Yeah, since we have the time, I'd like to see it again. I know Director Tacker left us a note. She had to leave. She wanted to ask some questions, too. So I'd like to bring it back one more time. And after you find out about Tri-W, that's kind of a big question for me, too. And Broderson. And all the easements, too, all of our properties that we own. Because they aren't all on this map, right? Just the drainage basins are on the map, but we own properties, little pieces here and there.
Right, but what is on this map is really limited to actually our responsibility. Regardless, as I said, stormwaters that originate from roadways, it is a county, and the county, regardless of the ownership of who's off the side, will be addressing it.
Thank you.
Okay, Director Sparks.
I mean, we're going to submit this to the Water Board, and then it's going to go through revision. Is that correct with them, Mr. Schimpf? Is this I mean, it says we're going to adopt this, but it's going to come back to us, or we adopt this here tonight, and then they have revisions from the Water Board, and then we're going to readopt it, or?
The direction I think I heard was that you would like to see it one more time before you adopt it. And adopt is perhaps the wrong word, because you're right, it has to go to the Water Board for approval. So
my question was, I mean, for another adoption later.
Correct, but I would recommend you not adopt it tonight, because we got some comments here, some areas that we need to spruce up, and we'll bring it back in a couple of weeks or at the next meeting, is what I'm hearing, unless I'm misunderstanding.
No, I think that's correct. I don't know if Joe's question is more of the fact that do we expect to amend this after the Water Board sees it? Are they going to make comments and require changes?
Margaret,
we won't know that until we
please.
Have it in front of them, I would guess. I mean,
there is a process that goes through at the Water Board, and what we do is we submit it to them. Then they give us a time period where they will post it and ask for interested parties to comment on it. Then we go back and we have time to redraft it, and we meet with them several times. They've got if you go to the Water Board's website, you can get the schedule on the MS4s. So it's constantly being updated. So that's why, because, I mean, this original one was submitted in 2003, and we're just starting to get into doing it now. So it does go through a process there, and then they're the ultimate ones who say, okay, now from this date forward, you're going to have to comply with this. And that's when we start with our year one. We will be doing these practices. But we have been, as being part of the stakeholders, is also the partners in water quality. That's what Jill Falcone is part of. That is, we can use all of the points that we're supposed to get towards our best management practices through all of these events that we've already done. So, you know.
So it goes to the Water Board in June.
Yeah.
They put it out for public comment, address those comments, ask us to somehow, and then later this year it gets the final adoption by the Water Board?
According to the latest, I'm not sure if this is actually the latest, but it takes the swamp will be, they have a 60-day period that they will go through it, the Water Board will go through it, and then the staff will go ahead and respond to all of the additional comments and prepare a presentation for hearing of the internal, you know, their listserv. So it does, it looks like it probably won't be until next year, February, that it would be finalized.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess where I'm going is my point is we can get the rolling the sooner it gets to the Water Board. You know, start going, getting the comment period. We have the ability to amend it. You know, to me, it's satisfactory to begin that process. We have the ability to amend it. Could come back to us next year for other changes, rather than try to force or not force, but you know, before the 20, you know, period of the 20th, I'd just as soon you know, follow staff's recommendation, adopt it tonight, and then it's going to be revised accordingly. And it's not just necessarily from all the interested parties, but we have the ability with our staff to do that as well in the interim.
I forget if we've taken public comment on this item. I think we have already. So we're ready for action. Yes?
I'll make a motion that we adopt the stormwater management plan for submittal to the Regional Water Quality Board, and direct staff to revise accordingly prior, and direct staff to submit to the Regional Water Quality Board, and actually direct staff to, I guess, post for publicly for comments.
Mr. Schimpf.
Friendly suggestion, Director Sparks. First, I think, and it's my fault, adopt is the wrong word. I think you were approving it for submission. And I would only ask, and I agree with what you're saying, we might as well get it started. But based on the comments tonight, we could probably include those. There's probably no reason to come back to the board. But I did hear earlier that Director Tacker wanted to speak to this, and she's not here. So whatever you decide. But I think you're right. There's plenty of time to make changes after the water board's taken a look at it. So, but we could certainly adopt some of the things. You know, we could add in what you said here tonight and go ahead and submit it to the water board is what I would suggest.
Mr. Murphy.
The concept of getting it moving, I just think we can wait a little bit longer.
Looks like the motion dies for lack of a second. Could we have this brought back under consent calendar next time, make the changes, and then let's try and get it through on the consent calendar and just handle it that way? That should be easy enough. Direction to staff. I don't think we really needed a motion for that. Okay, on to item.
Just like to make a quick thank you to Margaret and George
for
preparing
you.
This packet. It is really good.
Can I? And staff has all the changes. Is that clear that staff understands all the changes?
Well, for me, I didn't. I had questions still that aren't answered, and he has to go look for the answers. So. He couldn't have the changes yet because he doesn't have the answers yet, right? So.
Okay, agenda item D, consider developing a list of questions for response by San Luis Obispo County Public Works Director at the joint CSD LOCAC meeting to be held on May 29th, 2008. Any preliminary comments? Yes, Mr. Schimpf.
Just for the public's information, they may have had a chance to look at this. We have an opportunity. Pavo Ogren was contacted by LOCAC, but talked to me and said, hey, would you be interested in having an hour of my time? And I said, yes. But then he came back with, okay, but I want time to be able to prepare my responses. So. He's, as you saw in his email, he wants to know what we're going to ask so he has a chance to prepare. And based on the comments just a minute or two ago from Alon Perlman, perhaps one of the questions might well be, what about runoff from LOVR and that whole project? And again, he might be able to have the time to give us an answer that would be of interest to all of us. That's just
if
my
that
suggestion.
Would preclude having to listen to that concern be raised again, yes, get him out here.
Well, that was just my one suggestion.
Oh, I love it. That's a good one. Why not just open up the whole project? And I can get that question to you in a little more concise manner, too. But that's the gist of it.
I have a question, too, I'd like to add to the list, and if there's any public that want to add, too. And that is... I'd like some more information on the county's approach and opinions about the Broderson site and getting an adequate, it does segue a little bit with Chuck's question about disposal and reuse, but I want more details on the Broderson site and what is the proper infiltration rate and what is the proper equation to determine what that site can handle as far as disposal. It's very important to the community from what I'm hearing. Infiltration and percolation rates, whatever. I can develop
the application
it as well.
Rate that they're going to put the water on that site?
Yep, I will. Yeah. Just for the public's sake who's listening. Many people have asked me about what's happening at Brodersen. We've had lots of professional disagreement about what is the proper rate at Brodersen for disposal. And so that question is very important.
I might be tempted to ask him how his gray water system's doing, too, if he's got any recommendations or things to avoid. Because he's got a gray water system at his house that he put in to use recycled water. And that article wasn't entirely untrue. He's somewhat green, you know, the New Times article.
One of the things that caution here is that, as he said in his email, I can take three questions at 15 minutes apiece, or I can take 10 questions at 4.5 minutes apiece. So
I'll probably just bend his ear about the gray water system in private. Any questions from the public that they want? Oh, Director Sennett, excuse me.
I was thinking that if we were limited to questions that are directly under our purview, but I'd like to know what the county's going to do to address accessibility, pedestrian accessibility issues in the downtown area, as far as upgrading existing access ramps and making the streets, you know, smoother for wheelchairs, things like that, completing missing sections of sidewalk to make the shopping centers connected.
Truthfully, he'd rather have those.
Yes.
Oh, sure. So the ownership of the alleyways and the erosion problems that occur on the dirt alleyways in Los Osos.
And see, that's the kind of question I would guess that Pablo doesn't have a clue that there's a problem there. And by answering this question, he'll look into it and may have a response.
With the adoption of stormwater management plans right now and the emphasis on low-impact development and trying to retain stormwater and rainfall on-site, our dirt roads are certainly prime candidates for attention in those areas.
Be careful. He'll have them all paved.
You trigger stormwater treatment, not just trying to deal with the retention. If you start paving certain percentages of your town, then you have to treat that runoff as well as just try and retain it, and it gets very complicated. Okay, public, any questions that you would like to see addressed?
Along permanent provisions. Well, I don't see why this wouldn't be a good time to ask Mr. Pavel what are his intentions. First of all, the Palisades project timing. I think that's very important. The LOCAC Traffic and Circulation Committee chair was here earlier, but maybe I should ask that in his stead because he's left, which is when is the Palisades project going to be finished? And as a part of that, that Palisades project contains a lot of drainage issues. Maybe this is your nexus to ask publicly how is the county accepting a responsibility for those magic drops of water that fall from the sky where they're basically potable water, then they hit the fire station. Then they go under the fire station in, I believe, a kind of drainage system, and then they leave the fire station and the CSD property entirely and are no longer the CSD's problem. And then they go under the street and cross the street in a pipe that the county will be putting in there in the next 6 months. And then they come out on some gravel pit on the property's right of way at the corner of Palisade. Water could very easily make its way all the way into Sweet Springs. Thank you very much.
Top question. Make sure. Top of the list, please. Palisades. Mr. Schimpf.
He's expecting San Isabella, but hoping it doesn't come up. My personal feeling is that that's been resolved, but there's still a lot of people in that area that aren't and they're on, and LOCAC may well ask that question, just to let you know.
Right, they'll have, I'm sure, their own list. Okay, any additional public input at this time? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board, and I think you have a few items there to put together for Mr. Ogren, and certainly you can extend our thanks ahead of time for the offer to come out and talk. Okay, at this point, I have a couple of public service announcements. LOCAC elections this Saturday.
Mr. President?
Yes.
You still have item number 5 from the consent
calendar. Oh, consent calendar item number 5. Thank you. I glossed right over that, or tried to forget about it. Thank you. Okay. Approve board president's formation of an ad hoc committee comprised of 2 directors to develop a general manager performance evaluation form. Director Sparks, you had this pulled from the consent calendar. Did you have some comments about it?
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised. I thought this was different from what we had been told what was going to happen, and that we would, general manager was going to bring back a form for our approval. So this is a little different direction. I guess there's this, you know, I see in here employee performance evaluations, and I guess I'm not so much interested in using these. You're not a normal employee. we're a board, and you're akin to the CEO. So, you know, the one item from Ventura certainly was more along those lines. You know, a lot of these are just, I don't think they're helpful for a board. They're more rote employee forms. The Los Altos Community Services has employee performance evaluation. Was this used previously for evaluating
forms? The first one that has a point system is the one that the utilities department uses. But the second one is the one that was actually adopted by Mr. Buell. And my understanding is that he gave himself a self-evaluation, filled it out, and basically evaluated, in his own, evaluation for the board, and then the board commented on, whether they agreed with it or not. And, obviously that was all in closed session, but my understanding was that Mr. Buell actually filled one out, for at least purposes of discussion with the board during his evaluation periods.
That's the last one, the last 5.
Yes, it's literally the last one that's in your packet, yes. And it is the one that's used by the other employees still today.
For what it's worth, the first one in there is one that I developed about 10 years ago. And quite frankly, it's a direct plagiarization from the officer fitness reports used by the military services.
And so I guess, again, what I was expecting was there was going to be a evaluation form come back to us and for us to approve. I guess I didn't know what the there's a proposed ad hoc director ad hoc committee, and I guess I just wasn't certain, how that would proceed. My preference is was what we originally was intended, that was we were going to have something come back to the board to approve or disapprove. I actually, the Ventura form, though, I could almost make one edit and I'd be ready to go with it tonight.
Thoughts from the other directors?
I just wondered if you could... The only thing, Karen, you said about Mr. Buell, for instance, that's what he did. I remember vaguely, I was part of one evaluation of Mr. Buell in closed session, And Mr. Seitz?
What would be the edit that you would make in that form?
I guess this almost goes to the legal counsel. There's a statement on there, does the manager communicate performance expectations clearly while maintaining a team environment? And that gets into that issue, Mr. Murphy, of the general manager manages his employees and, you know, how does the board, and we manage the general manager. So I didn't know whether that was, you know, so having something like that in there, just, you know, we're not privy to the day-to-day how the general manager communicates performance expectations to his team. It's I guess I don't know how to evaluate that without digging into talking to employees that work for the general manager. And that's not something for the board to do. So,
you're right. I can see that kind of being an odd point in there. It seems like it should be the employees doing that, answering that question.
Well, that, I know that's something that's been done before. We've had in. You could ask the employees.
Well, we're not going to.
An informal, you know, anonymous evaluation from employees. If you think that's valuable, we can ask for it. I mean, it's,
sure.
Yes, Mr. Shem.
I didn't include it, but I in fact have a form that I received when I was doing this for employees to evaluate their supervisor. And I found that rather helpful in the past. So I intend to institute it, but I hadn't thought about it in my own case. And as an aside, the only problem I have, other than the one that was mentioned for Ventura, is a lot of white spaces, and how is a group of five going to write those words? That is a procedural question. I mean, put the numbers in, which is why the one I put on front, that's pretty simple. It doesn't require any comments. You just throw the numbers down. But on the flip side, the value to me would be to have those written comments, except that I'm not sure how, as I said, all five of you write the comments unless you do it individually and then just do the collective score.
American Idol?
I'm not sure how they do that.
The only other thing I could suggest, and Mr. Murphy, that's up to us if we want to ask the firm, but Tim, and your firm, Tim Davis, works with evaluations all the time too, and he might have some quick suggestions, so, of how to handle this appropriately. So, quick call maybe. I'd still like to hear about that.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of different forms here. We ought to be able to find something here that's going to work. So you wouldn't be interested in serving on an ad hoc committee to bring a form back to us at our next meeting?
No. I would recommend, you have two other directors. I think the way I make decisions and view things, I think it's better other directors do that. I think that was born out of the whole GM selection process. So my view is, I'm ready to, if Mr. Murphy thinks it's okay, I'm ready to make an edit and motion to approve a form tonight and have a review. We're already late with his review. That's my opinion.
Yes, Director Sennett.
Well, rating people is just a fraction of the purpose of an evaluation, and it's a time for employees and supervisors, boards, and general managers to meet together to look at past dealings and ways to improve, deficiencies, highlights, accomplishments,
it runs a gambit of many qualities. And it's not so much to derive a numerical rating, but to evaluate performance and seek ways to enhance them and keep problems from developing. So there's not going to be one forum that's going to do everything, but I think it's on the committee and take a look at these and look at what we want to accomplish in our evaluation.
That was a volunteer. Director Tacker has volunteered. We have our two-person ad hoc committee. And I would hope that we could have by the next meeting a decision on which we're going to proceed with and then schedule that at the closed session. Okay, thank you. Now we can do public service announcements. Okay. Director Sparks.
Don't we have to take public comment on this?
Oh, yeah, we did skip that, didn't we? It is an agenda item. Public comment on agenda item, consent calendar item E, was that, or was that 5? Yeah. Evil spirits. Seeing no public comment on this item, we'll bring it back to the board and proceed as directed previously. Thank you. Okay. Public service announcements. Big day Saturday at WAMU in the back room. There's a meeting room behind the main part of the bank. Between 9 and 6, there will be elections for LOCAC. As most people know, probably the community's divided into, I believe, 5 different sections. 4. And hopefully there's at least 2 candidates from each section running, and that's where you'll be doing your voting, Saturday from 9 to 6. Also Saturday, the Kiwanis Club is sponsoring a fence mending at the Red Barn, starting at 8 a.m. If you have any fence building skills or maybe you're good with a first aid kit, come on down to the Red Barn and help fix the fence. And that's another worthwhile community project. Good thing. Anything else that is going on that people want to talk about?
I believe it's next Tuesday at the Cal Valley Performing Arts Center. The Morro Bay Choir will be performing, and Wednesday the esteemed Morro Bay. I just want to say, I think people probably can perceive that. I know the other directors are very frustrated. I'm extremely frustrated. We're going to have a budget process, and we know when this district announced that it was filing for Chapter 9 bankruptcy, part of that is the intent to remain and become solvent. We're a water and service provider, and we need to structurally, you always think we're at the crossroads, 2.5 years ago we're at the crossroads, and the next year you're at a crossroads, and, sooner or later, you run out of crossroads, and on the revenue side, we've approved water increases the last 2 years, large hikes, and we have... I think we'll find out in this budget we have structural issues, and I feel like I feel like a prisoner on this board, in that I feel so limited in what I can say, because I don't want to speak bluntly, even though I guess sometimes people probably think I do speak bluntly, but in the sense that there's things I'd like to say, and I don't feel I can say them, and it's just incredibly frustrating. And we need to, I don't think I have control over, which is the most frustrating part, of getting to the point of where this district can be a water and fire district. We're not a big district. We're a, you know, we're a 3.8 million, aside from the capital projects, we're a 3.8 million a year district. That's all we are. And, you know, the common goal needs to be get to that. And my message is it needs to get to it fast. It needs to get to it very fast. I did ask Mr. Schimpf for the financial balances. We haven't seen financial statements for 6 months. And the reconciled account, things are one thing, but these are the financial balances. And I don't know that they include the LIF. I sure hope these don't include the LAIF account. And I want to know what that balance is. And I want to know it very fast to our staff. I need to know that very fast. The reasons in the world, if I were in the supervisor's shoes, why would not formally take the project? And I cannot expect them to do so. I think it is paramount that that occurs very fast, and it's paramount that some other things occur extremely fast. And I wish I would be able to speak more blunt, but, you know, given the nature of, you know, things that have happened in this town and people in this town, I'm going to not be as blunt as I want to be.
I don't understand who you think you're trying to spare or not being able to. I mean, if we can't speak freely about the concerns of the district, then we're not doing the district service and justice. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, okay, let me be a little more blunt. You know, it's because of, you know, it's because of the way individuals in this town, certain individuals in this, yeah, I'm just not going to say anything. The best message I can give is we are at a crossroads, and if certain things, they need to be resolved on a lot of different fronts. I was hoping when I came in that there could have been a shift very rapidly and towards things, and there's discretionary decisions on a lot of fronts. And that's all I'll say. I mean, I wish I felt comfortable, but frankly, you know, given the nature of how we've got here, given the nature of, I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable because of, I'll be blunt on this, I feel uncomfortable in part because of, you know, where the district, the evolution of district staff and advisors. I mean, I'm not trying to single out any single one, but I feel uncomfortable. You know, I look at the bankruptcy. I look at the creditors committee, and I just, you know, it. I'm just expressing my frustrations, and I hope we can get to, get structural issues resolved fairly fast. What was being proposed, and, you know, I just, at that time, I thought this is not gonna fly. This is not gonna be right. And, you know, in retrospect, a lot of people now, you know, they want to use hindsight and say, you know, things like, we were lied, we were fooled, whatever. I mean, the district made their choices. I never felt fooled. I felt like there was something before me. I had a choice. I could ask questions. And, you know, the district made a choice, and the district, you know, made choices later. But I'm not going to put myself in other directors' shoes on this board or that board. If I were in the position, I don't know that if I were in the position of recall directors' shoes, knowing what they had gone through, knowing what they dealt with, knowing what they were up against, that, you know, if I was Chuck Cecina and part of the solutions group and it evolved, if I'd have been on the other side, if I would have been stuck in by my decisions, I'm not going to put myself in Chuck Cecina's shoes after the recall and not being there and the same thing. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just saying we're at a crossroads, and I think it's imperative that, you know, we get over that, because I think what the district has going for it is the Chapter 9 bankruptcy. That's what we got. That's what we got. And we do not want to become insolvent while in bankruptcy.
I'd agree with much of what you said. Certainly share the frustration. I mean, you're not even being sued as an individual over all of this. And I agree that it's a critical time, but it seems like it's been that for the past 2.5 years. I don't know if it's any more critical. The only thing I would disagree with is that there are a lot of discretionary and expenditures that we make. Most of that's pretty locked in. And I just don't think that there's that great a latitude. But yeah, we're in a tough spot. But I think we'll get through it. And I've always appreciated your comments and the insight that you bring. You ask good questions. And does anybody else have anything they want to add? Or shall we just... Oh, Director Schicker.
Since we're on such serious subjects and we're talking to our... and tries to do their best. So I'm very frustrated and very stressed by what's happening and very concerned too. And on that note, and on a serious note again, this is something that I have discussed with Director Tacker, so she knows that it's a concern of mine, and it has to do with what's going on with her in the newspaper and the conflict of interest stuff. And it's really important to me that we clear the air about that. I think it's very important that we do that, and I'd like to see it on the agenda the next time. And as I said, this is something I've asked her. I want her to be able to clear the air, and I want the public to be able to express what I'm hearing from my constituents and what I'm hearing from people who don't even know me in my swimming pool and everywhere around because of the newspaper articles, because of these conflict of interest issues. I think it's important that our board address it and be out front about it. Like you said, Mr. President, we should be able to discuss all issues openly and honestly and not be afraid to talk to each other about these issues that are kind of touchy and controversial. So I hope we agendize that for our next meeting so we can clear the air about that. And other than that, I thank you all and for participating, and thanks, Director Sparks, for being candid again, and Mr. President, too. Thank you. Good night.
Well, with that, we'll say good night and see you all on the 29th for the joint LOCAC CSD meeting. Thank you. Don't forget to vote Saturday. WAMU.